Welcome to AIM's Online Guide to New Business Development. In the next 30 minutes, we're going to review some of the techniques that are proven to be very effective for getting new business when used in concert with AIM's research data. You know, no one's blessed with sufficient repeat business where it can satisfy your typical growth objectives. Our challenge, and always is, to find new customers, to serve them well, and to hopefully continue to repeat the process. Our research in 36 markets provides a captive audience to you of companies that are growing and are on the move to a new physical location. These businesses are primed to do business with companies like yours and will in fact spend the money necessary to make sure that their event is successful. When it comes to finding new business, we find in any sales organization the attitude that, hey, I hate shaking those bushes and rattling those trees, but you give me the sizzle and I'll close it. Well, unfortunately, it's the nature of the beast, and today's day and age, there's no substitute for honest-to-goodness prospecting efforts. The thing working in your favor is the fact that with AIM, it's not really a cold call that you're making. You've got a hot prospect, it's a target, who will be, in fact, doing business with you or your competitor. I mean, let's face it, very few companies move by themselves. It's simply too much of an ordeal. Virtually everyone will need the lifeblood of their phone business in the new location. What's that? Of course, their telephones. Everyone needs furniture, desks, chairs, tables, on and on. Typical company on the move will deal with probably an average of 17 different vendors in making the move and will spend really many thousands of dollars to make the move successful and, most importantly, invisible to their customers. At AIM, we believe that they should be doing business with you. Now, over the years, we've been able to assemble information on what selling techniques work extremely well, and we'll share them with you here today. All these techniques are tried and true and represent the best of the best. In essence, they are, in fact, the sizzle. Now, I'd like to introduce you to Chris Collada, our Vice President of Sales, who'll cover a number of these items with you. Chris has successfully carried the bag for a number of firms and does a heck of a job in helping others get new business for their firms. So, Chris, it's all you.
Thank you, Bob, and good morning, or good day to everybody. I'd like to start off the selling process, the business development process, with a metaphor I call picking up rocks. Years ago, I knew a gentleman who had a farm out in the suburbs, and I, at the time, had lived in the city, and always wanted to go to the farm and do farm work. I mean, everybody always thinks about it, and you have this imagination of what it's like to work on a farm. And so he invited me out on a Saturday, and I got all my farm gear on. I had my Tyrolean shoes on and my vest and a plaid shirt. I mean, it was just, I felt like a farmer. Anyway, I went out to the farm, and here he comes with his tractor, and I was so excited. I thought I was going to drive the tractor and just do the farm work the way I envisioned it would be. But instead, when he came up, he handed me two buckets, and he said, "Chris, I want you to go up and pick up all the rocks on the field, and I'll follow you with the tractor." And I said, "Why do I have to pick up the rocks?" He says, "Because you can't till the soil until you pick up rocks." I look at the selling process as picking up rocks, those suspects that we don't want to do. It's not glamorous, it's not fun. But by picking up rocks and getting all the rocks off the field, you can then till the soil. And that tilling the soil are the prospects. And when it grows, those are the deals. So I look at the selling process as something that in the beginning doesn't register high on the fun meter. It's not glamorous. Nobody likes to do it. But in order to get the prospects, in order to till the soil, we all need to pick up rocks. The next segment that I'd like to speak about is product definition, what this product, the AIM product, is and what the AIM product is not. What it is useful, narrow information that is collected by our research data people that will make thousands and thousands of calls to produce a list in a market, in a particular market of the 36 that we do. That's what it is. Useful, narrow information that gives you an advantage over other people who are not purchasing our product. Conceptually, you're able to get in there, develop a relationship before a lot of your competitors even know these companies are moving. That's what it is. What it is not, it's not a cure-all. It's not going to substitute for what's not in your sales funnel. It's not going to make the calls for you. It's not going to set the appointments for you. All the garden variety things that we have to do to develop business are not going to change. We're still going to have to develop a relationship. We're going to still have to do the techniques in business development that we would do at a Yellow Pages. We still have to do the same thing in developing business. The only difference that we have here is you know something they don't know, you know, and that is that they are moving. What are the key things that we have to learn when we begin to work the AIM listing is rule number one, and it's got to be gospel. We never, ever mention the move, and I'll tell you why. As I said, indicated earlier, we make thousands of calls to produce one listing, and the reason why we have to make thousands of calls is generally no principal or manager or anybody of responsibility is going to give anybody any information about what their company's doing or not doing, and we basically rely on people within the organization to give us that information about their move, and that's why we make approximately 18,000 calls to produce one list of 125 companies planning to relocate. The next day, we will reconfirm that information for accuracy, and then, of course, we now have a listing. Now that we know that we do not mention the move, how do we make a call and how do we not make a call? Well, I can tell you right now that if we call up and ask for the decision maker that's on the listing and ask to speak to John about his upcoming move, and John gets three or four calls about his upcoming move in one day, he's going to say, who told anybody we were moving? Tell the next person that calls about our upcoming move, we're not moving. Where are these calls coming from? So this is why I indicated earlier, you do not want to mention the move. What you do want to do is, again, garden variety stuff here. All I want to do is I want to engage the gatekeeper firstly. The person that answers that phone can be your best friend. And a lot of times we circumvent that person. We just try to ignore them and try to get to where we want to go. And that's not always that good, and I think you will not be as successful. So here's how I would start off with my telephone call. Now, once again, I know that they're moving. I know all this information, but I'm not going to mention it. I would start off and say, good morning. My name is Chris Collotta. For example, I'll just be a telephone company. My name is Chris Collotta. I'm with ABC Telecom. We provide telecommunications solutions in the area, and I was wondering if you might be able to help me. I'm trying to determine who would be the appropriate person to introduce myself to and my product and service with, once again, our telecommunication solutions in the area. Do you know who that might be? Person's going to probably say, first of all, because you've given that individual all the information, that person will be less reluctant not to give you information back. That is probably that you need to speak to, in this case, John Smith. Well, may I have his line, please? Now, when I get through to John Smith, I'm going to get his voicemail. Nobody answers calls anymore today. They want to screen them. They want to know who they're dealing with. They want to know what the purpose of the call is when it's an unknown. But I love voicemail because when I leave a voicemail for the first time in business development, to me it's like an introductory letter with my voice attached to it. So it would go something like this. Hello, John. My name is Chris Collotta. My company is ABC Telecom. We provide telecommunication solutions in the area, and I was just calling to see if I might be able to have a few minutes of your time to introduce myself and product and service so that down the road, if there's ever an opportunity to compete for your business, that you may want to consider ABC Telecom. And so that's my first voicemail. I like to take about 2 days after, 2 business days after, because you don't want to call too much day after day, because I always say the difference between being aggressive and being a nudge is inches. So I wait 2 days after. Now, when I call up the second time, I'm going to remember the gatekeeper. Let's say her name is Ellen. Hello, Ellen. This is Chris Collotta with ABC Telecom. You were so very kind the other day to put me through to John Smith. Is John available today? Well, I can put you through to his line, and so I'll go through to John again. But this time, the second voicemail, which I'll probably get, it's not a cold call anymore. Now I'm following up on something I said 2 days ago, so it gets easier the second time around. Hi, John. This is Chris Collotta with ABC Telecom, just following up on a voicemail from Monday to once again see if you might be able to spare a few minutes. I can actually come before your day begins or after your day ends. just to tell you a little bit about our product and service. I could be just 15 minutes. And I always like to say, and I promise you, I'm not going to try to sell you anything. I just want you to consider us down the road. My number here is 410-555-5555. Thank you very much. And then I hang up. Now, I wait 3 days after that, three more business days after that. And this time when I call and I talk to the gatekeeper again, I'll say, "Hello, this is Chris Collado with ABC Telecom. You were very kind. Oh, yeah, I remember you, Chris. Is John available?" Now, if I get John's voicemail the third time, I'll zero out. And the reason why I'll zero out is because I always say to myself, what do I have with these people right now? I have nothing with them. So what do I have to lose? The person's either going to get mad that I paged them, or they're not going to get mad. So I'll zero out. I'll get back to the gatekeeper and say, "Is there any possibility you might be able to page John? I haven't been able to contact him." And so if you've developed a relationship with this gatekeeper, which is very important, she's going to probably say, "Okay, I'll page him for you." If you get John on the line, which I think you will, and it goes well, "Yeah, Chris, I've gotten your calls. John, I just wanted to come in to tell you a little bit about our product and service. I can come before your day begins or after your day ends, so I don't interfere with your work day. By the way, when you tell somebody you'll come in before their day begins or after their day ends, they're going to love you, because you know they're going to say, this person doesn't want to interfere with my work day. I'm going to give that person an opportunity." The other thing that may occur when you get them on the line, you may hear this: "Are you calling about our upcoming move?" And your answer is no. "I was just going through local directories making business development calls. And if you are moving, that's great. But at this point, I did not know that you were moving. So I wanted to just come in and tell you a little bit about us." All of these techniques that I've talked about in trying to generate an appointment, in this case I'm using a telecom, will still work if we're a mover, if we're a furniture company, if we're a security company. Because all we want to do is get the appointment. We want to develop a relationship. We want to be able to follow up 2 or 3 weeks later. "Hey, John, do you remember meeting with me?" "Yes, I do. Chris, I don't have anything for you right now, but thank you for the call." And as we look at when the move is going to occur, as we look at our listing, as we keep developing this relationship, sooner or later, if we do our due diligence and all the garden variety sales 101 things that we're supposed to do, that we would do with a regular cold call, again, the beauty of this list is, sooner or later, John's going to say, "Chris, your timing is good. Why don't you come on in? We got an event coming up." And that's the beauty, whether you're a telecom, whether you're a furniture company, whether you're a mover. All we want to do is have the advantage of getting in front of these people and building a relationship, so when they take a bid of three, we'll be part of that bidding process. An additional technique that I think works in this technological day that we're in these days is a little thing called Star 67. Now, Star 67 allows the caller to have his number or her number blocked out. Now, one of the beauties of this is, of course, by developing the relationship with the gatekeeper, conceptually, at some point, we're able to get John Smith's direct line. So it could be more convenient, so she doesn't have to get our calls all the time. Assuming that we can get the direct line, and we're trying to track John down, by utilizing Star 67, if he has, or she, you know, or she has, or whoever you're calling has caller ID, instead of showing ABC Telecom or Stevens Movers or whatever, showing up on that caller ID 17 times, it'll show a block name. So the person won't know that you've tried to call. But guess what? If you really need to reach that person, you might be able to make 10 attempts in a day until you finally get through and not have to leave a voicemail or a message. And this person doesn't know that you've actually tried to call him 10 times. It actually looks like, sometimes I actually hear when I make these calls, "Geez, Chris, you must be psychic. I just walked in the door." No, I'm not psychic. I just use Star 67, which is a no-cost feature in most places throughout the country. So you may want to check into that, and also, once again, get that direct line in conjunction with Star 67.
Chris, you're right on. You know, folks, there's an underlying theme here, and I can't emphasize this enough. And all of what Chris has mentioned, there's an ingredient that you have to embrace, and that is persistence. Persistence absolutely pays handsomely. Only too often, salespeople and marketing personnel give up after the first call. It's the wrong thing to do. It's also common to take comfort in the fact, well, you know, I left a message for him or her to call me. That is not going to get it done. As Chris mentioned earlier, it takes 3 to 5 calls, and maybe times there even more than that to get through. In the good old days, salespeople were passionate about getting the sale, and they did whatever was necessary to make it happen. Good news is that it still works today for people who are in fact passionate and who aggressively and constantly follow up. That's the main ingredient in success, and, you know, it will never change. Another thing that we've learned over the years is the fact that sex sells. It's always a funny thing to throw out there, but what truly happens is the fact that if you work the opposite gender, meaning that if your target is a male, have a female do the calling, and if your target is a female, have a male do the calling, you're going to find that the results are much, much better. This is a fact of life. It's been proven many times over in research regarding human behavior and telephone solicitation environments. I wouldn't think about it too much. It's just the way it is, and the fact of the matter is, it works. Chris has talked about the telephone visit and how to approach your target, but there's another technique that's very worthy of mention. We always recommend that you mail your company's brochure to the target, in addition to the telephone effort, but we recommend that you do it in a very special way. The technique that works the best is to hand address the envelope. You need handwriting or lettering. Never, ever, ever use labels or any other form of addressing. Next thing you have to do is mark the envelope personal and confidential. The reason for that is that your chances of getting your message through to the target are much improved. There aren't many gatekeepers or admin assistants who have the authority to open personal mail. Using this technique virtually guarantees that your target will see your message. The advantages of the brochure are threefold. First, the brochure can say what you may not be given the time to say on the telephone. Secondly, it keeps on repeating itself in your absence. It's always there to be reviewed at the convenience of your target, not when you want to call and chat. And then finally, it gives you a reasonable opportunity for follow-up.
A crucial thing that we need to do in the selling process is track performance. Tracking performance doesn't register high on the fun meter for either management or the account rep, but it's absolutely crucial. If we get the AIM leads and we know that they're moving in 6 months and we don't do the rudimentary things that I've spoused about earlier, which is the 3 to 5 calls, getting in front of them, developing a relationship, and keeping it in our database with an actual tracking record of it, then we're doing ourselves a disservice and you will not be successful with the AIM leads. You know, it's a funny thing. In some companies, you know, the way we give out leads, here's a lead I gave you in October, and then it closes in April, and if we didn't track it, the sales rep's going to say, well, I developed this myself, and you're going to go, good job, when in fact you gave them the lead. So I don't want to make the account rep wrong. I'm guilty of it, and I don't want to make them right. I just want to track the performance as a company so that we all get benefits from the AIM lead. And that means keeping a good database of information, what if, what next, and strategize about each and every lead on this listing. Then the benefit of this list, providing prospects, becomes a very strong tool in your business development efforts. Attracting salespeople is a very laborious task and very hard to do. Generally speaking, I would say the first 90 days to 120 days, the salesperson is learning the company culture, learning the customers, and basically it's an investment that the company makes in that person with no due respect to the salesperson, very little return coming back. I like the fact that the AIM leads can get the company and get the salesperson, that new salesperson, out of the gate quicker by developing business development prospects right out of the gate. I mean, if you tell a salesperson, listen, I'm going to provide you, when you come on board with 125 companies that are planning to relocate from one area of this town to another area of this town, that person's going to be able to get out of the gate instead of doing what we always do, calling old customers, which we need to do, but generally the return is not there. What we need to provide are new business development opportunities, and salespeople will probably be more successful in that 90-day to 120-day time frame, and you'll get the return on the investment on that individual a lot quicker by having them call prospects right out of the gate. And that's what the benefit of this as an incentive to bringing in new employees. I would like to close my section by saying that we need to follow up, and follow up in the new business development arena. My old rule of thumb is nobody calls you back. You got to remember one thing. If you rely, as Bob said earlier, on leaving messages and hoping that they're going to call you back, you're not in business development. You're not going to even be in sales. So the bottom line is, at the end of the day, we've got to follow up, and remember that nobody calls you back. You need to find them. And that's the way it's always going to be in business development.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Now I think it's time to probably summarize what we've heard today. Chris's metaphor in picking up rocks reminds us that we have to return to the basics in sales. We often lose sight of those basics because of the hectic pace of the day and our environment. But when all is said and done, we have to stay focused on those fundamental tenets that have worked well for so long. The key to remember is that our list doesn't set appointments. You do. Take advantage of the captive audience that we provide and work it with the knowledge that you have regarding an event in that target's future. The event will occur, so you need to set the appointment. That's what this whole process is about. Another key point to remember is do not mention the move. You don't want to become another one of those opportunists that's vying for attention about the move. You want to be perceived as a business professional who's simply doing their job while trying to be a service to the target. What it amounts to, it's really the blissful marriage of timing and need. So choose your words carefully. The gatekeeper will also often become your best friend. Elevate them to a level of importance with lots of kindness and lots of courtesy. These underpaid and overworked people can make a significant difference with your end results. Put them on your team. Now, for voicemail techniques, the first message is always brief and precise. State who you are and what your company does. Request the courtesy of simply a few minutes of their time when it's convenient for the target. By suggesting hours or times before or after hours, you'll definitely set yourself apart from everyone else. If at all possible, try to obtain that direct phone number so that you don't really have to bother the gatekeeper. When you get it, it's like having platinum. Follow up in 2 business days. Mention the previous telephone visit and reemphasize your willingness to meet briefly when it's convenient for the target. On call number 3, try to page the target. You have got to get through so that you can begin the relationship building process. Use *67 to block caller ID so that you won't be perceived as a pest. By blocking your ID, you can make many more calls, and sooner or later, whether it's before, during, or after normal working hours, your target will answer the phone. The single most important ingredient is persistence and follow-up. Keep at it relentlessly. Don't give up. Leave that for your competition. Try to use the opposite gender when you make your calls. It always works much, much better. Don't forget, mail your company brochure, hand-addressed and marked personal and confidential. It will get through to your target. Make sure that you track performance on who is working the leads. Ask the hard questions and make sure that your personnel are taking advantage of what you have. You can also use these leads either as an incentive for your people or as an excellent way to get new sales employees off and running and entering new business for your company. And then finally, follow up, and then follow up some more. Well, folks, as the cliche goes, this isn't rocket science. It's simply the basic blocking and tackling that we all should be performing day in and day out. We're blessed with a loyal following of long-term customers. We speak with them regularly, and over the years, we've been able to establish a responsive business relationship with them. They've told us what works and what doesn't work, and we've shared those thoughts with you here today. We hope that we've been successful in provoking thought and that you'll try these techniques because they, when combined with leads from AIM, can make the process of new business development a whole new adventure that will make a difference in your company. Thank you very much for listening.